GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. George on vacation in FLA. Our guest co-host, independent journalist Andy Neff, is on his way into the studio shortly, but already behind the bulletproof glass is Republican for Congress, Adrian Bennett of Bangor. Adrian, good to see you again. How are you?
Good morning, and good morning, listeners. I am doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
You stay over there and don't catch whatever I'm on the other side of.
You know what? I just got over a cold myself, so I understand, and I hope you're feeling better or you're
working
on the tail end.
Can you smell the
it.
Lysol in there? I disinfected the entire place for all the guests and for the guest co-hosts that have been coming in. I want to ask you the question of the day, as we're asking our listeners this. Have you bought extra supplies, hand sanitizer, wipes, cleaners, over concerns about coronavirus?
Not over concerns about the virus, no. I don't think that there is a concern for immediate panic here or any panic at all.
Well, not panic,
you know, but you know what? I do have hand sanitizer in my car at all times, and I have those wipes at home, and I clean with bleach. So, yeah,
that's routine. You see, I wonder, you're crisscrossing the state. You're shaking a lot of hands.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to insult someone by taking out the hand sanitizer immediately after shaking someone's hand. But it is a reality that you got to keep your health up if you're going to campaign, win hearts and minds.
Sure, sure. And yeah, I have it in the car. So when I get in the car, I just spray a little and I'm good to go.
All right. A lot of people know your story, but for those that might be meeting you for the first time, how did Adrian Bennett come to be and decide that she wanted to run for Congress in the second CD?
You know, the best part of this campaign is that I get to meet so many people, and I realize that many people don't know my personal story. They know my professional story, but they don't know how I grew up, where I came from, what those principles and values, morals and ethics, where they all were formed. And good morning, Andy.
Morning. Get yourself set up, buddy. We're meeting Adrian Bennett, the Republican for Congress. I know you guys have met before. And as you just said, Adrian, some people might know you professionally because we saw you on TV and we've heard you on the radio.
That's right. And this brings me back to my old days in radio, because when I was in my 20s, I had three jobs. I started out at Channel 5, and then I worked at the same time on Sundays. I had my own radio gig at Z107.3. So
don't
I was a DJ there.
Don't
I know.
Mention competing
I know.
Radio
sorry,
stations.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
It's all right.
But yeah,
friends.
So I was over there for a number of years, and I had my own DJ business as well. So I grew up in rural Maine, and I'm, like you mentioned, crisscrossing the state in CD2, and there are so many rural communities that need a voice, and I want to be that voice for them. So I'm learning the issues that are most important to individuals and their families, and I am telling them a little bit more about myself, because I grew up in Troy. It was a town at the time, less than 1,000 people, and we grew up on welfare. You know, I didn't have much growing up. It was a shack. We didn't have insulation on the walls. We had food stamps, and the wood stove was the source of heat. So I knew how to cut, split, stack wood, you know, like any good Mainer does. There's nothing special there. I didn't have indoor plumbing until about the age of 10. And, you know, when I'm talking to different people, last night, for example, in Herman, at least two people in the room, they didn't have indoor plumbing when they were younger. So it's nothing special there, but there is something special about Mainers and how we grew up. And we're rugged, we're independent, and we are self-sufficient. And so growing up on welfare, you know, you learn things a different way. You become a bit more grateful for the little things. And that's something that I've taken with me into my adulthood. And when some politicians say they want to change welfare, well, I lived it. And there are certain things that, you know, I want to dig into the system and make sure that those loopholes are closed.
Let's bring Andy Neff into the conversation, independent journalist, guest co-host. Good morning to you, Adrian. You guys have met.
In Adrian's case, she's probably in the upper lower class, because she probably had a two-holer, a deluxe, not just a one-holer.
It was outside. It was all outside. It didn't matter. It was cold.
I just remember, you probably remember this too, because my family was on food stamps at two or three different times in our lives.
Sure.
It's funny, because as a rock rib Republican conservative, people assume that I'm against welfare. I'm not against welfare. The thing is, over the years, the meaning of it, the import of it is lost. It's not a lifetime thing that you achieve to get on and stay on. It's not a birthright. It's a temporary stopgap measure as an emergency for people who are struggling. And I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But I do remember my mother being on the phone when I was a kid arguing with somebody. This is even back in like the 80s. arguing with somebody that she was going back off food stamps because she had a job and she was fine. Mm-hmm. And this guy arguing with her, you don't understand, ma'am. You have your WIC checks. She's like, I don't need them.
Right.
And she finally hung up on the guy, feeling like she had to argue with him to stay off her food stamps.
Okay, well, let's dig into that point.
And that culture has been around state government for years. You said that was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, that was something that we encountered in the LePage administration. So we do need to change that mindset. I totally agree with you, Andy, that people don't want to be on welfare necessarily, but Democrats, liberal socialists have this mentality that they want to keep people suppressed and they want to ensure that they are dependent on government. Well, most people want to succeed, though.
Let me ask, there's a problem inherent in the system because the welfare benefits have become as generous as they are, mm-hmm. and it's more lucrative. It makes more economic sense for someone to stay on welfare than go and seek a job and have the level of taxes taken out of them.
That's right. And
so
a plan.
How do we change that?
Well, we need to change the system. We need a tiered system. And that's something that I am going to bring forward. So you need to empower people to reach their potential and you need to incentivize them to work. I know when I was younger, I grew up on welfare. I knew what it was like to pull the food stamps from the booklet. You had to keep them, remember, in the booklet before you got to the store.
I also remember those big giant blocks of American white cheese that you could get at
we called it government cheese.
I still hate American cheese.
We had that in Aroostook County. It wasn't white though, was it?
Oh yeah, mine
was orange.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Well, we had the orange too.
So, you know, we have to ensure that people are incentivized to work. And we do that through, you know, if somebody receives a 50-cent raise or a dollar raise or whatever it may be, they can't lose their benefits entirely necessarily. So we have that tiered system so they can be weaned off of it. And like I said, people, they want to succeed. They want to reach self-sufficiency. When I was younger, I was, you know, raised on, you know, in that welfare atmosphere. And that was the last thing I wanted as an adult. And when I had my daughter at 20 years old, things drastically changed. And I had to provide for my family, my daughter. And so I worked three jobs. I wanted to ensure that I wasn't going to be raising my daughter and in a family that had to depend on the government to get by.
You know, you mentioned incentivizing. You also need to disincentivize in certain ways. I mean, not to be, you know, cruel and we're going to throw you out in the cold. It's not to that extreme, but you've got to create carrots for people to not want to be on welfare as well. I mean, it's an incentivizing and a disincentivizing thing at the same time, I think. You have to kind of work it both ways.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's all part of the healthcare system that is a debacle right now. And, you know, moving, you know, kind of into the same subject area, but of healthcare, Obamacare, you know, absolute disaster. And President Trump, he's continuing to dismantle it. You know, partially the work around that is expanding options for people. I am traveling CD2 and nearly everywhere I go, somebody says, you know, I'm one medical emergency away from being in debt. And I don't know what I'm going to be able to do if that occurs. As it is right now, I can't afford my deductibles. And, you know, what are we going to do about healthcare? That's the question we're being asked. And President Trump, he is trying to expand options. We're trying to lower drug cost and improve accessibility of quality insurance. And these are all things that our president is working on. And I look forward to tackling that issue too with him.
We're talking with Republican for Congress Adrian Bennett, guest in studio Andy Neffen for G here this morning on the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Mm-hmm. I think I read that there was another round of endorsements that came out. Some people are standing beside you saying that this is the person that we should send to Washington for us.
Yeah, and you know what? I haven't been touting endorsements, you know, since the beginning because I believe that you got to put the work in. You've got to meet people. I think people in CD2 are my endorsement when I earn their vote. So they are paramount. Right. But there are groups who I've met with and other candidates have as well. And just recently, I was endorsed by Value in Electing Women. That is the VUPAC, an organization that vets female candidates. And they've concluded that I am the best candidate most likely to beat Jared Golden. And I'm going to do the best job representing the district. So I was had the honor to be with former Congressman Bruce Poliquin and VUPAC Executive Director Julie Conway this past week and received that endorsement. So very happy about that. But again, it's about the people of Maine. They are going to be making the decision. And that's why I am working my tail off to make sure that I can learn Mainers' stories and what they need from me so I know what to fight for or against when I reach DC.
I'm reading some of the text messages that are coming into us. This person writes to us back in the discussion of food stamps. I hated food stamps. It made me feel so bad. I have to rip those stamps out of the books to the group that I attribute. But I attribute that feeling, that emotion, to the reason I'm so successful as an adult. I never wanted to be there again. I was raised and I have worked hard my entire adult life to make sure that I'm not in...
Her sentiment is the same as mine, and it does make you stronger. Sometimes when you're raised a certain way, you go the opposite direction, and it sounds like we have similar backstories, and that's exactly how I feel. It makes you stronger. It makes you want to work harder, so you are economically independent as an adult.
Ever since the no handheld cellular devices driving bill went through, we've received more and more of these voice to text.
Oh, sure.
And so that's why it's tough to sometimes understand. But at the end, this person writes, Adrian is right on. This person writes, she has my vote.
You know, one of the things she brings up, though, is that, you know, pulling the stamps out of the booklet, we had to do that. And there was this change to the EBT cards because people didn't want to, politicians, they didn't want people to be stigmatized. In some regards, that wasn't necessarily a bad thing because, you know, people... there's an accountability to that. And, you know, you should never be ashamed of where you're at. For some people, as you mentioned, Andy, you know, maybe it was a bump in the road for your parents. I've heard people, you know, they, especially with the mill situations here in Maine, they hit that bump in the road and they need that temporary assistance. But like you mentioned earlier, this is temporary assistance. It's not long term. And when we were in the LePage administration, we did put the restrictions on the time limit of 5 years with TANF, temporary assistance for needy families. And that's something that was crucial.
I don't think there's necessarily a bad thing about having to get those checks out. I mean, I remember they were like what, red, blue, and green, I think, were the primary colors, depending on the...
Yeah, they didn't want them to be mistaken for S&H green stamps.
Right. So, well, you know what? We did those too. My sister and I were slave labor as far as licking all those stamps and putting them in the book. Fortunately, we didn't die like George Costanza's fiance.
But we turned out fine, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for you know, getting through some tough lessons the tough way. I mean, not everything is roses and you know, sunflowers and jellyfish going down
I think sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows is usually the trifecta.
I just like jellyfish. That's
wonderful. I say rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah. I remember when you were working for the LePage administration, Adrian, and the big talk was about that with those welfare cards, I'll call them that, you were allowed a cash disbursement. Mm. And I don't know if they're still doing it. But there's no tracking on what that money was spent. You could just go and you could pull the money out. And the LePage administration, you guys, you did the research as to where, which ATM the most money was coming out of. And it was across the border. And I remember I was at the store in New Hampshire and I took a photo of myself in front of the ATM and I texted it to you. And I remember your reply to this day of what you said, what you asked me to do. Pull the plug on that thing, would you?
doesn't surprise me.
Do we still have the cash disbursement where there's no accountability for what welfare money is being, on which welfare money is being spent?
Yeah, I don't believe so. That was something that we were able to tackle in the administration and address successfully. So, you know, there are loopholes in the system, in any system there are. And when I was younger, I remember my mom would have me go into Troy General Store and I'd have that food stamp. She'd say, go it. And buy a 25-cent lollipop or some piece of candy, and oftentimes you would get cash back from that. And so that's how the transition from the actual food stamp that you could only buy, you know, food with, transitioned to cash so my mother could buy cigarettes. And so there are loopholes, there continue to be, and we need to be diligent in addressing those. And that was one that we did.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.